Thank you, Dr. Pacelli. You know the old adage that when you're giving a presentation, you shouldn't follow children. I guess Mr. McNeely and I are doomed with the double whammy of our son Joshua playing piano. Really excited to see that and the young men accompanied, and I'm glad to be lumped in with the young men somehow, although I think it's a little less true than for the first group. So this message will continue with the theme of spiritual transformation that several of my messages have focused on for the past 6 months or so. And today we'll focus on a transformational force that is readily available to anyone to utilize, no matter where you may be in your spiritual journey. This tactic is so effective at producing results that we could justifiably call it a transformation superpower. But alas, as with most things, there is a catch. When you understand the fine print, there are several very undesirable aspects of this incredibly powerful force. It's not glamorous. It's not comfortable. In fact, it's often not very enjoyable at all. As you use this force, you're likely to feel like you must be doing it wrong. And worst of all, it's painfully slow. Primary inputs that this force uses to produce successful transformation are time and repetition. And ironically, this force is a word that we've probably all associated with an activity that we didn't enjoy and wanted to avoid at one time or another in life. That's right. The superpower that produces transformation is called practice. Practice. It's easy to say. It's easy to recommend to others. You should practice this. You should practice that. But it's incredibly hard to do. We've all spent a good deal of time in our lives resisting various types of practice, whether it's music lessons, sports teams, school assignments, a new career skill, whatever the case may be. We're naturally impatient, so it's easy to see it as getting in the way. We don't want to waste time with practice. We just want to do whatever it is that we're trying to do. When we're honest, it's easy to see our spiritual development the same way. When we think of the spiritual character traits that we need in our lives, we tend to see ourselves as somehow just having them rather than building them over time through practice. What's the good news here? This could be a real downer of a topic, except for the one thing about the discipline of practice that we need to focus on more than anything else. It works. It works. There's a skill that we need and don't have, whether physical or emotional or spiritual. We should ask God for it, as the book of James tells us. And once we've done that, there's no more effective way to obtain it than to start practicing it. There are several biblical instructions about practice that confirm its importance. So for the remainder of the message, let's review several takeaways from these instructions to highlight the importance and benefits of practice in our spiritual transformation journey. The Merriam-Webster Online Dictionary defines practice in the sense that we'll discuss it as to do or perform something often, customarily, or habitually. To perform or work at something repeatedly so as to become proficient. To train by repeated exercises. All of these definitions describe the central feature of learning and development through practice, which is repetition. This is practice in the sense of consistently doing despite shortcomings and thus building habits and progressing on a trajectory that, although forever short of perfection, always having some ups and downs, matures and improves over time. The method or tactic for developing and improving basically any physical or emotional or spiritual skill is to do it many times, not once or a few times. This reality can be very frustrating to us for one reason. It inherently means that we will see most of the benefit from all of our effort in that dreaded period of time called later, instead of the period of time that we want called now, right now, preferably. But on the upside, a willingness to practice basically guarantees that we will actually achieve progress instead of just hoping for progress, which is what we often do first and get little in return for that hope. One of the clearest biblical admonitions highlighting the importance of spiritual practice is at the end of Hebrews 5. Let's go to Hebrews 5, Hebrews chapter 5, and we'll start in verse 12. Hebrews 5, verse 12, the author writes, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." This section begins with a warning about a dangerous area of spiritual weakness that the writer to the Hebrews had identified in his audience. The New Testament scholar William Barclay's New Daily Study Bible titles this section, "The Refusal to Grow Up." The author is telling the recipients that they are spiritually immature and cautioning them to take it seriously. It's easy to give these verses a different focus than what they originally had. Multiple times over the years, I've heard comments from church members more about teachers, not about students. This minister or that church organization is only teaching milk, not meat. And that may be true in some cases, but we should not lose sight of this verse's admonition and its focus on our individual spiritual maturity. Now, clearly, we must have spiritual discernment toward what we are taught. But when we hear a teaching that we consider milk, we should at least consider that maybe milk is what we need. Maybe our level of maturity needs shoring up, like the recipients of this letter. The analogy of milk versus solid food is used multiple places in Scripture to describe the difference between those who have internalized what they've heard and learned to apply it and increase that ability to apply it versus those who haven't. So how do we internalize what we hear and gain the ability to apply it? Verse 14, he continues, "But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." So the key words in this verse relative to our topic are "of full age." So the New King James margin notes show that this could be mature. Next, "use," which the margin notes typically show could be practice, our topic today. And then "exercise," which has a connotation of training through physical activity. Several other translations utilize the clearer alternatives, including the English Standard Version and the New International Version. And both translations also include the adjective "constant" with the word that the ESV renders as "practice," which seems very appropriate because the Blue Letter Bible's concordance defines the word translated as "practice" as a habit, something that you do habitually, whether of body or mind, a power acquired by custom and practice and use. When we think about physical skills, even though we often don't enjoy practicing, we can fairly easily bring ourselves to admit that it's necessary to practice if we want to improve that skill. Without realizing it, many of us see emotional and spiritual skills differently. somewhere along the way, we adopt the unrealistic expectation that we should just be able to apply these skills without building them through this repeated, genuine, and imperfect effort. But in reality, the opposite is true. Emotional and spiritual skills require the same growth and development process of building proficiency in small increments. Very good news is that over time, practice produces what the second definition there states, power, the power of capabilities that God develops within us, the power of confidence in the work that God is doing in our lives as we abide in Him, and the power of progress as God builds His character within us. That's what the author of Hebrews was encouraging his audience to progress toward. As the Nelson Study Bible's comments on the verses explain, it says, quote, "The readers of this letter did not necessarily lack information concerning righteousness. They lacked experience in practicing the information they had. Those who make a habit of obeying the message of righteousness mature in faith and are able to distinguish good from evil." I'd like to share two examples of incredible accomplishments outside of the Bible that illustrate the process of practicing to gain experience, and then bring the key takeaways from those examples back to the realm of spiritual growth and development. First example is the training process for Apollo 11, the first mission to land a crew of astronauts on the moon in 1969. It was true then, and even truer now, in the communication environment that we live in, with social media and news cycles that change by the hour. We often see the culmination of some really fantastic achievement without really seeing all of the preparation that led up to the big day or the big moment. In his book, The Obstacle is the Way, Ryan Holiday uses the first crewed space mission as an example, not of finding people who just have the right emotional qualities, but of training the people chosen to have those qualities through repeated practice. About the space mission, in a section titled Control Your Emotions, he writes, "When America raced to send the first men into space, they trained the astronauts in one skill more than any other, the art of not panicking. When people panic, they make mistakes. They disregard procedures and ignore rules. They deviate from the plan. So panic has to be trained out, and it does not go easily. Before the first launch, NASA recreated the fateful day for the astronauts over and over, step by step, hundreds of times. Slowly, in a graded series of exposures, the astronauts were introduced to every sight and sound of the experience of their firing into space. They did it so many times that it became as natural and familiar as breathing." The astronauts literally lived and breathed this preparation for a long time prior to the actual launch of the space mission. A 2019 National Archives blog by Ivy Donnell titled Practice Makes Perfect, How the Apollo 11 Crew Prepared for Launch, states this. It says, "The film footage of Apollo 11 makes the July 16, 1969 launch and subsequent moon landing look like a breeze." Those edited film footages can just do wonders for making it look like it just happens, not just for this, but for lots of things that we see. Continuing, "But the years leading up to the launch were full of rigorous training exercises and mock run-throughs performed by the Apollo 11 Prime and backup crews. The astronaut activities were meticulously rehearsed to ensure a successful mission." And we may think, sure, it makes sense for them to practice so much, but I don't need that. I'm not going to the moon. That's true and fair in one way. Our spiritual journey isn't to the moon as Christians, but it is about something far more important and far more difficult. We are pursuing our incredible human potential, becoming eternal spirit members of the universe-ruling family of God, and helping every other person in our lives who has that same incredible opportunity. We need more practice than the astronauts, a lifetime of preparing to fulfill a future that's too fantastic to fully comprehend. Second example I'd like to use for illustration is a bit more down to earth for all you pun lovers, but still just a phenomenal accomplishment in human terms. In May 2023, I had the opportunity to attend a conference that featured a discussion with these two gentlemen, Alex Honnold, who is a professional climber, and Jimmy Chin, who's an adventure artist, athlete, and an author and director. The two have collaborated on many climbs, and their most famous accomplishment is Honnold's ascent of El Capitan, which is a 3,000-foot high rock formation in Yosemite National Park with no harness, no ropes, no protective equipment of any kind. It's called free solo climbing. Honnold was the first to achieve this, and the journey was chronicled in Chin's documentary film called Free Solo. Here's another case where it's easy to see or hear the outcome of an effort like this and assume that, you know, here's an incredibly talented guy who somehow just had the right combination of natural talent and confidence, and he just went and did it. In reality, as the documentary and the discussion that I attended brought out, it was years of diligent preparation and practice. Part of the conference presentation that stuck with me most was Chin highlighting that, quote, "Climbers of Alex's caliber don't just go up to a cliff and start these epic ascents hoping for the best. They evaluate, plan, and then practice numerous times with various strategies." Honnold described in this discussion at the conference practicing the route to the point that he could mentally rehearse the entire climb, having planned every foothold and handhold. It's not by chance where each hand and each foot goes. He knew every single one, where it was going to be placed. Obviously, a climb such as this still involves plenty of risk and uncontrolled variables like weather and the possibility of mistakes that do create real risk. And that risk creates a level of apprehension because you realize what's at stake. But as they explain, the rigorous preparation makes you more and more comfortable with what is uncomfortable. Having practiced it to the point that you're not just rolling the dice, confidence comes from knowing what's possible through experience. Once again, as with the astronauts, a free solo climb of El Capitan that's really cool, really awesome, we are called to something far more significant, far more important. If we're going to attain what we've been called to, it's going to take a lot, a lifetime of practice. Why do we face the repetitive and fatiguing difficulties of life? Well, by the end of our lives, we will have chosen to resist sin, whatever your temptations are, to exercise faith when confronted with doubt, to choose peace over conflict, patience over impatience, thousands and thousands of times as we practice. You're married and have kids. You've practiced choosing peace and avoiding conflict and having patience at least 100 times by the time you finish breakfast. So by the end of the day, it's hundreds. This ever-present need to develop spiritual maturity through the training of constant use is highlighted by the writer to the Hebrews, is highlighted in three other New Testament letters. Each verse that we'll look at uses a different word, all with different meanings that indicate something, that indicate doing something repeatedly. So for all the scriptures, we'll be using the English Standard Versions and the Blue Letter Bible's concordance definitions. So in Philippians 4, verse 9, we have, "What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." In this word, the verse in this verse, the word for practice is praso, which means to be busy with, the exercise of practice. First eight verses of this chapter highlight some of the disciplines of Christian living, the result in the spiritual fruit of peace. Next we have 1 Timothy 4, verse 15, which says, practice these things, immerse yourself in them, so that all may see your progress. So in this verse, the word for practice is meleteo, which means to attend to carefully, to attend to carefully. The New King James translates it as meditate, indicating a focused attention. The three verses prior to this highlight some disciplines of service that would allow Timothy to be effective in ministry, or in a broader context, in serving and in leading others. And then finally, we have 2 Peter 1 verse 10. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. In this verse, the word for practice is poieo, which means to make ready, to prepare, and then to produce something. The first three verses of this section highlight some of the Christian virtues. It's the passage that starts out, add to faith virtue and to virtue knowledge. Some of the Christian virtues, which are aspects of godly character that have to be produced in us through the practice that it's talking about. All these verses echo a theme that is contained in Hebrews 5:14, the keynote verse that we started with. In the New King James, it says that those who submit to the discipline of practice have been exercised. In the ESV and NIV, it's trained. Training. Those who are practicing something are training to achieve it. A few years ago in 2021, Life Church, based in Oklahoma, hosted a financial reset educational event with personal finance educator Dave Ramsey's organization. Craig Rochelle, who is the senior pastor of Life Church and the author of multiple books on Christianity and leadership, spoke at the event as well. His portion of the program was focused on encouraging the audience to make progress with the mindset of training rather than trying. Training rather than trying. A powerful mindset shift that aligns perfectly with practice as a transformation superpower. Portion of the message that connects to our topics is an observation that Mr. Groeschel uses repeatedly for different aspects of his teaching. He says, successful people do consistently what others do occasionally. Successful people do consistently what others do occasionally. For our topic, we could define successful people simply as those who are progressing in spiritual maturity. They do consistently, as in they practice repeatedly what others do inconsistently or occasionally. They are in training to mature spiritually. The concept of training was highlighted by Ryan Holiday in The Obstacle is the Way as well, in describing its effectiveness in counteracting the emotional forces that hinder progress and accomplishment. He states simply, uncertainty and fear are relieved by authority. Training is authority. When we repeatedly practice the physical, emotional, and spiritual skills that we need to improve with God's help, the process of training develops what is otherwise unachievable. So to make this topic both relatable and actionable, let's summarize what we've learned with three takeaways that we can all, you knew it was coming, practice with in the coming weeks to strengthen the impact of this transformation superpower that we all have access to. The first takeaway is to develop a mindset that embraces spiritual practice. Develop a mindset that embraces spiritual practice. Think of a spiritual skill that you need to improve in. It shouldn't be hard for any of us. We all have plenty to choose from. As you start working to make whatever changes are needed in your thoughts and actions, say the words out loud and write them down. I am practicing whatever the skill is. I am practicing whatever the change is. I carry a small journal that I take with me just about everywhere I go. If you were to look through my journal, please don't. I'll be embarrassed. If you were to look through it, there are lots of places in there that say, I am practicing whatever it is. Approaching it from a mindset of practice expresses commitment and makes engaging in the effort repeatedly more likely. And it takes away the unrealistic pressure that we often put on ourselves to do things perfectly. Second takeaway. Takeaway number two is to accept the inherent imperfections of the practicing process. Accept the inherent imperfections of the practicing process. Even with a mindset that embraces spiritual practice, we can still get tripped up with a variety of unhealthy responses to the reality that we can't do things perfectly and therefore need to continue practicing. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 5:10 with respect to his own shortcomings and mistakes. He said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. God knows our imperfections better than we do. And through the love and grace and mercy that he extends to us, despite those imperfections, we can practice and grow in spiritual maturity. Third takeaway is to have a long-term view and believe that practice will lead to progress and transformation over time. Have a long-term view and believe that practice will lead to progress and transformation over time. Thinking back to the two examples of incredible human achievements that we looked at, those and many other awesome accomplishments culminated after years of preparation. It's important to remember that our spiritual trajectory is a lifetime, an entire lifetime, however long that is for us each individually in the making. As I mentioned in the introduction, the best thing about practice is that it works. The difficult thing about it is that it's so slow in the view of our lives. It's been helpful to me to use the phrasing from 1 Timothy 4:15 in the ESV that we read. We all know that the old saying that we've all heard and rolls off the tongue isn't quite accurate, especially when it comes to spiritual growth. Practice does not, in reality, make perfect, as the old saying goes. But it does produce progress. So that's the phrasing that I've adopted in my own journey. Practice produces progress. And when we're struggling with particularly difficult phases of growth and development, as Mr. Gary Petty pointed out in his Winter Family Weekend sermon, it's a great time to follow the example of the father who came to Jesus in Mark 9, asking for a demon to be cast out of his son. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. As we continue practicing, he will both help our unbelief and help us achieve progress and lead us to it over time. In conclusion, let's remember that God did not design us to live in a sterile white lab coat type existence where every variable of the environment is tightly controlled. Instead, we live in an environment where we learn by receiving information and then experiencing both the desirable and difficult outcomes of what we do with that information in a wide range of circumstances. Another word for that experience that we gain as we encounter life is practice. It's a growth and development superpower that's available to all of us, every one of us in every situation. So as we continue in developing godly character through spiritual transformation. Let's pursue, as the writer to the Hebrews encouraged us to, becoming mature as those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil.